Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Leaders, whether business, educational, political, or religious, should set the tone for the people they're leading. They need to realize that many of our young people, and some not so young, are watching our leaders and imitating their conduct. Is there any doubt in your mind that thousands of our teenagers attempt to justify their immorality by the sleazy conduct of former President Bill Clinton? If it is all right for leaders in our community to get together for a drinking party, what is wrong for our young people to do the same? Oh, I know that the law forbids drinking by teenagers, but it is not easy to convince them they are doing wrong when their elders drink like fish. There were many reasons why the ancient nation of Israel ceased to be God's elect people. The people did not have the faith and the courage to do what God required of them. Isaiah accused the Israelites of not knowing and not thinking seriously about their duties to God. He accused them of being laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They had forsaken the Lord and had provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They had gone away backward. Isaiah 1, 3 and 4. They were offering sacrifices to God, but God was sick of their hypocrisy. He charged them, "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I can no longer bear them." Isaiah 1, 13 and 14. About 150 years later, the prophet Jeremiah asked God's people, "Has a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Jeremiah 2, 11 through 13. Neither Jeremiah nor any of the other prophets attempted to remove the guilt of the average Israelite. But they laid much of the blame for Israel's tragic situation on the leaders. I plead with you to think of the following verse in view of the corrupt leadership that exists in many of our counties and cities in the state of Tennessee. Jeremiah wrote, "I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, that no one returns from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." Jeremiah 23, 13 and 14. Tragically, the prophets, the priests, and the kings were all crooked and unconcerned about the welfare of the Israelite people. In fact, Ezekiel accused the leaders among the Israelites of looking after their own selfish interests and not taking care of their people. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 6. The prophets turned from the living God to idols. The priests were profane. They were negligent in teaching the law of God to their people. The kings did not have the courage to lead the people back to God and to His law. The nation became so corrupt that eventually it ceased forever to be the elect people of God. Incidentally, modern Israel is one of the most secular societies in the world. Israel's leaders have actually spied on the best friend Israel has in the world, the United States of America. Have you noticed how many accidents involve the drinking of beverage alcohol? Thousands of people die every year because someone is drinking and driving. I see advertisements on television and elsewhere that announce, "If you drink and drive in Tennessee, you will be caught and you will go to jail." Do the people who compose those advertisements really believe what they write? If they do, they are the only ones who do. Experts estimate that one of every 10 persons we meet on our highways is under the influence of alcohol or of other drugs. It is a joke to claim that the people who drive and drink will be arrested and put in jail. My heart goes out to those families that lose members to drunk drivers. I know the heartaches and sorrows that result from some irresponsible persons driving under the influence of alcohol. My wife's grandfather, her mother, and her older sister were all killed by drunks. My wife was in her 40s when her mother and older sister were killed by a drunk at Clarksville, Tennessee. Shortly after the accident, my sweet Molly lost most of her hearing as a result of the trauma. Her hearing loss cost us tens of thousands of dollars. Besides, Molly had to quit teaching children because she could not hear them when they asked a question. She loved teaching children, but could no longer do it because of a drunk. Did you know that on June the 30th, there will be a fundraiser at Riverbend? According to the Elk Valley Times, Wednesday, June the 20th, 2007, the festivities will begin at 6 p.m. with Social Hour featuring a rum tasting by Pritchard's Distillery, page 1B. I have several questions regarding the event. Is it not possible to have a fundraiser without serving liquor? Do we have to set an ungodly example for the young people of Fayetteville and of Lincoln County? Do any of the people involved in the fundraiser have children? Do they not care that our young people tend to imitate the behavior of parents and of adults, such as the mayor, the county commissioners, and other leaders in our area? If the parents drink Pritchard's Fine Rum, are they surprised when their children drink rum and whiskey or other alcoholic beverages? Our leaders ought to be ashamed for setting such a foolish and dangerous example for our community. The article also pointed out a wonderful Imprimis Day spa basket, a great basket of Jack Daniel's products from the Fayetteville-Lincoln County Industrial Development Board, a basket of Main Street goodies, a basket featuring signed bottles of Pritchard's Distillery products, and other gifts will be distributed on that night. You could not keep from noticing that the infamous Jack Daniel Distillery and the equally infamous Pritchard Still will provide strong drink for the occasion. What is the motivation of these two alcohol-producing stills? Are they striving to induce the people of Fayetteville and Lincoln County to buy and to drink their death-dealing beverages? I have serious doubt they are offering the gifts as the goodness of their hearts. If they had good hearts, they would cease forever the manufacture of beverages that are responsible for killing thousands every year and for turning drinkers into alcoholics. I have to drive through Lynchburg, Tennessee on my way to various appointments. I cringe when I realize the enormous damage the liquor produced in that city does to individuals and to families. I resolve every time I hear the name Jack Daniel to continue to speak out on the evils of strong drink, all kinds of strong drink. The prophet Isaiah was deeply disturbed that there were people in Israel who were heroes at drinking wine. He pronounced woes on such senseless people. Woe unto them who rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Woe unto them who are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Isaiah 5, 11 and 22. Some of the leaders in Israel made grievous errors in judgment because of their devotion to strong drink. Isaiah spoke very plainly on this topic. But they also erred through wine and through strong drink. They are swallowed up with wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Isaiah 28, 7. I can almost hear some of the people who will attend a local fundraiser say, as Isaiah recorded 2,700 years ago, "Come, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." Isaiah 56, 12. How many judges, political leaders, police officers, and other leaders have perverted justice and good sense because of Jack Daniel's whiskey? How many hundreds of thousands are in their graves prematurely because they did not have enough good sense to leave alcohol alone? Oh, but just think of all the revenue our counties, cities, and states get from those who make whiskey, rum, beer, and wine. Yes, I'm fully aware of the money some counties and municipalities receive from taxes on beverage alcohol. Tragically, 10 times the amount our cities and counties receive from taxes on whiskey and rum will not compensate for the loss of one child to a drunk driver, or for the abuse wives and children experience from a drinker. Incidentally, I am not speaking primarily, and certainly not exclusively, of physical abuse. Some drinkers physically abuse their wives and children, but not all do. But many drinkers abuse their families by embarrassing them with their stupid behavior and by using money that could be used for better purposes. When Molly and I were in business in Dalton, Georgia, we lived next door to a young family. The man and his wife had 2 beautiful teenage daughters. The man worked for the United States Post Office. When he was sober, he was a very likable man. On one occasion, he came into our store very late. He was very drunk. After he left, a policeman picked him up for driving under the influence. A few days later, the man came into our store and asked if I had reported him to the police. Perhaps I should have, but I did not. He told me he was driving very carefully on his way home. I asked the police officer about my neighbor. He said the man was driving slowly and very carefully on the wrong side of the street. Eventually, the man lost his job at the post office. His wife and daughters could no longer take his drinking. They left him. Was he drinking Jack Daniel whiskey? I have no idea. But Jack Daniel whiskey and all other kinds of strong drink make men act stupidly. Incidentally, King Solomon knew that 3,000 years ago. Please listen to a man who knew what whiskey and rum do to people. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They who tarry long at the wine, they who go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it gives his color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes shall behold strange women, and your heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, you shall be as he who lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he who lies on the top of a mast. They have stricken me, you shall say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Proverbs 23:29-35. If Solomon were living today, would he write the same words about those who drink Jack Daniel's whiskey or Pritchard's fine rum? Will the people who attend the fundraiser care about Solomon's warnings? Not likely. What about Pritchard's fine rum? Is it any less intoxicating and less dangerous than Jack Daniel's poison liquid? I have been speaking out against Pritchard's rum even before the Pritchards began to manufacture their deadly drink. Did you know that when a man is drunk, he is actually poisoned? Alcohol poisons, destroys, corrupts, and kills. If anyone denies these facts, it is because he is either ignorant or prejudiced. If anyone thinks I have overstepped the bounds of reason, he is hereby challenged to prove it. I would love to be challenged on what I have said today. Do you honestly think anyone will do it? I now turn to some experts who know what beverage alcohol has done and is doing to the human family. The American Businessmen's Research Foundation published an eye-opening book with the title, What's New About Alcohol and Us? The book is more than 50 years old, but contains facts and figures that are applicable to the situation today. Except in every category, things are worse than they were in 1956. These businessmen make one observation that is very disturbing, but almost unquestionably true. Every great religion of the world surviving today, which teaches a way of life, either prohibits the use of alcohol or warns against its use. These run from the prohibition of Mohammed to the urgent warnings of Confucius, Buddha, and the Old and New Testaments, pages 1 and 2. The authors of this study ask, has man changed? They answer, in initial chapters we said that man has not changed, alcohol has not changed, and the effect ingesting alcohol has on man is the same today as it has been for thousands of years. Page 12. Do men's eyes still see strange women, and their hearts utter perverse things? Proverbs 23:33. Every person in the world who has had any contact with drinkers can answer that question without hesitation. There are some quotations in this book that should challenge not only drinkers, but those who make it and those who sell it. The book quotes these words from S.S. McClure, publisher of McClure's magazine and head of McClure's Publishing Company of New York. Jack Daniel's people and Pritchard's operators should listen, although I am of the opinion that it would make absolutely no difference. Men selling liquor ally themselves with semi-criminal characters. I must reread that statement before I finish reading the excerpt. Men selling liquor ally themselves with semi-criminal characters. They continue, this is especially true of Pittsburgh, San Francisco, New York, where in many cases saloon keepers combine with capitalists who want franchises to dominate municipal affairs. Thus the liquor men and their allies are allowed to violate the laws and are granted special privileges. The result is that people are given a saloon government. The movement against liquor is not temporary. It is gathering force and will continue. I find that the liquor question is one of the two conspicuous issues now in existence. Page 27. Tragically, the authors of this excerpt were wrong about the gathering force against alcohol. Opposition to alcohol did not continue and is not a major issue in most jurisdictions. It is my considered judgment that very few Americans care about it. But I know people who do care. The parents who have lost a child to a drunk driver, or the husband or wife who has lost a spouse to a drunk driver. There are a few other brief excerpts in this book I plan to read to you. The first comes from Theodore Roosevelt, one of America's greatest presidents. Theodore Roosevelt, telling the story of his political experiences, thus referred to the liquor angle. The most powerful saloon keeper controlled the politicians and the police, while the latter terrorized and blackmailed all other saloon keepers. If the American people do not control it, it will control them. Page 28. E.W. Carmack served as United States Senator from Tennessee. He wrote, I am weary of saloon domination. I am weary of the saloon's open alliance with vice, its open contempt of law. I am weary of a condition of things when the man in business is to make the law, must hold his office by consent of the man whose business it is to break the law. Page 28. Liquor manufacturers in Tennessee may not be breaking the law, but they are still poisoning men and women, boys and girls. Oh, by the way, Pritchard's Distillery has been fined for breaking the law. I'm fairly sure that makes very little difference with the way they operate. When people are producing death-dealing substances, they normally are not all that concerned about anyone's welfare, except their own. If they can make money selling an item that every reasonable person in the universe knows is dangerous, what difference does it make if people are destroyed by their product? They probably cry all the way to the bank. I need to read two more brief excerpts from the book, What's New About Alcohol and Us. For many years, Charles Eliot served as president of Harvard University. Dr. Eliot said, "The recent progress of medical science, largely accomplished through animal experimentation, has satisfied me that even moderate use of alcohol is objectionable. That habitual use of alcohol in any form is lowering the intellectual and nervous power." Page 30. Howard Kelly, a devout believer in the Bible and professor of gynecology and obstetrics at Johns Hopkins University, wrote, "I consider with eminent German authorities of enormous experience that beer is exceedingly injurious and dangerous as a beverage and has no scientific medical endorsement that I know of. I think the medical profession will ultimately reject all alcoholic beverages." Page 31. The book I have been reviewing is almost certainly out of print, but you might locate it on the Internet. But I have two other books I must mention before our time expires. Dr. Anderson Spickard, a professor of medicine, director of the Division of General Internal Medicine at Vanderbilt Medical Center, and medical director of the Vanderbilt Institute for Treatment of Alcoholism, along with a professional writer, Barbara Thompson, has written a tremendously valuable book, Dying for a Drink, What You Should Know About Alcoholism. Former United States Senator Harold E. Hughes, a recovering alcoholic, wrote the introduction to the book. I wish I had time to review Senator Hughes' book, but I shall concentrate for the time being on Dr. Spickard's book. The following information from Dr. Spickard's book is tremendously disturbing, except to people who make and sell alcoholic beverages. Only 5% of addicted drinkers live on Skid Row. The rest are our neighbors. Some are infants born with the smell of alcohol on their breath. Alcoholic mothers are the number three cause of birth defects associated with mental retardation. Some are grammar school children. In Nebraska, boys and girls as young as 8 years old are suffering from cirrhosis, delirium tremens, and other alcohol-related problems. Others are among the 3.3 million teenagers all over the United States who bounce back and forth between alcohol and illegal drugs. And a growing number are housewives, hidden alcoholics who secretly sip their lives away and baffle unsuspecting husbands with erratic, unpredictable behavior. Pages 17 and 18. Any comment on these troubling statistics would be superfluous. They speak for themselves. Dr. Spickard did not mention fetal alcohol syndrome in the preceding excerpt from his book, but he did say that alcoholic mothers are the number three cause of birth defects associated with mental retardation. Page 18. Webster's Medical Desk Dictionary defines fetal alcohol syndrome as follows: a highly variable group of birth defects including mental retardation, deficient growth, and defects of the skull, face, and brain that tend to occur in the infants of women who consume large amounts of alcohol during pregnancy. Page 240. Dr. Spickard makes the following observations about fetal alcohol syndrome. No one knows how much alcohol a pregnant woman must drink to harm her unborn child. Alcohol crosses the placenta freely, is rapidly absorbed in the baby's bloodstream, and is slowly metabolized by a liver not yet fully developed. The Surgeon General of the United States has determined that there are no safe amounts of alcohol which pregnant women can drink. Page 80. I have one more brief excerpt from Dr. Spickard's book. In a recent Gallup poll, a staggering 1 out of 3 persons reported that alcohol had caused trouble in their families. Heavy drinking is involved in 60% of all violent crimes, 30% of all suicides, 80% of fire and drowning accidents. Every 22 minutes, another life is lost to a drunk driver. The cost to our society is conservatively estimated at $50 billion per year in the United States alone. And beyond these staggering statistics lie the ruined and priceless lives of millions of men, women, and children. Page 183. Do the Pritchards and the Jack Daniel people care about any of this so long as they're making money? If they did, they would cease making strong drink. Dr. Joel Ford practiced medicine in Memphis for several years and then moved to San Francisco. In 1973, Dr. Ford wrote a very perceptive book, Alcohol, Our Biggest Drug Problem. Dr. Ford formerly served as consultant to the World Health Organization, founder leader of the National Center for Solving Special Social and Health Problems, lecturer in criminology at the University of California, Berkeley, and chief witness for the prosecution in the Charles Manson murder trial. A few brief excerpts from Dr. Ford's book should help all people to know the dangers of drinking alcoholic beverages. Please listen carefully. Alcohol addiction is the most serious form of addiction, and alcohol abuse the most prevalent type of drug abuse. Page 9. Does that not show the hypocrisy of our society's condemnation of young people's use of marijuana? Alcohol is far more addictive than marijuana. The only difference is that beverage alcohol is legal, and marijuana is not. I did not know until I read Dr. Ford's book that Richard Speck, who killed 8 student nurses in Chicago, had been drinking heavily at a series of bars. Dr. Ford comments, "Alcohol holds no shock value for us anymore. As a result, no reference was made to a drunk or intoxicated killer of 8, as would certainly have been the case if another drug such as marijuana had been used that day." Page 14. I attended Murray State University with a young man who killed 3 children on a playground at Trenton, Tennessee. Are we never going to learn the dangers of beverage alcohol? Does it matter that heavy drinkers and drunks do so much damage to our nation? Will the people involved in a taste of Fayetteville contribute to the tragedies associated with drinking? Dr. Ford points out that formal resolutions were adopted at the annual meetings of sellers of alcohol condemning the use of the word drug in reference to alcohol and any effort to reduce its use. Page 73. But alcohol is a drug, Dr. Ford affirms. To say it's our most widely used potent psychoactive drug is a simple statement of fact. Page 73. Does that mean those who are going to be imbibing Jack Daniel's whiskey and Pritchard's fine rum are partaking of a happy hour drug? Alcohol is a narcotic such as codeine, morphine, Demerol, and methadone. Dr. Ford discusses the consequences of drinking. In dollars and cents, $10 billion is spent to cover lost work time in business, industry, civilian government, and the military. $2 billion goes to health and welfare services for alcoholics and their families. And $3 billion is spent to make up for property damage, medical expenses, and other overhead costs. Page 81. Dr. Ford's book was published in 1973. The situation is immeasurably worse today. Dr. Ford calls alcohol the hardest drug. Page 103. He says that alcohol is a far harder drug than heroin in several of its effects. More people are disabled as a consequence of alcohol than from heroin, LSD, amphetamines, barbiturates, and marijuana combined. Page 105. According to Dr. Ford, alcohol accounts for 150,000 to 250,000 deaths every year. That is between 8 and 10% of all American deaths each year. Page 107. There is much more information I would like to give you, but I must close our study with a few observations. Responsible public officials and community leaders should not engage in any kind of activity that sends the wrong message to our children and to our young people. Serving liquor sets a troublesome example for all of our citizens, young and old. The Sheriff's Department ought to give a blood alcohol content examination to all the people leaving the tasting event. I have a question. Will there be any preachers or priests at the tasting event? What will they be saying next Sunday morning? I close with these words from the book of Proverbs. Wine is... Thank you very much. The Old Testament prophets were among the most dynamic, dedicated, and courageous preachers who ever lived. They did not hesitate to speak the word of the Lord, even when preaching the truth endangered their lives. Jezebel hated...